Good evening.
Do a voice chat.
Randy said, do a voice chat. Does everybody hear? How now, brown cow?
Yes, we can hear.
Thank you. So, happy holidays to all of the traditions that we are celebrating right now, this time of the year. 'Tis the season to be jolly. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Well, some of us are jolly. Welcome, and so glad to sit with you tonight. It's nice to be home after about 7 days in the sand. One of the great things is that I have come home with a lot of sand, all kinds of places. So it'll take a while to let the sand do its thing.
From the beach.
So let's move our focus from a practice of dying while we're breathing, hallelujah, to one that may be bound to be eye-opening. And when it comes to the mental body and the emotional body, it's not that we don't want to have thoughts or feelings. Those are there. They're perfectly fine the way they are. But it's when we get stuck or fixated in them that it becomes problematic. When we seek to humanize our deepest insight and embody it in our humanity, oh, it's a wonderful journey. But it can also comfort us. Or really the word is confront us. As Adyashanti, a teacher coming from the Zen tradition, calls our holdouts. The parts of us, ourselves, that aren't sure if we were really willing to evolve. Change to become expressions of a higher, deeper state of consciousness. So that's what we're practicing when it comes to learning how to embody insight. This is really the nitty-gritty of spirituality. This is when it gets real. And that's what this lesson's about tonight. The teachings of embodiment are in many ways the most challenging of all teachings of spirituality. And we've used RAIN and practiced that. It doesn't mean this has to be difficult. The difficulty is experienced only in the direct proportion to how much we resist instead of allow. Recognizing, allowing, investigating, and seeing quite directly how this nurtures our beings. So if we don't resist, then the journey of embodiment becomes an adventure. So we've talked about being a human being, so we know we're not going to do it perfectly. I like to be reminded of that, because that's not what awakening is about, and we're not here to be perfect. We are perfectly imperfect. And so this idea of perfection is one of the things we must let go of. Why? Well, it distracts us from the truth. And how many times have we heard that the truth on any level, the range and within the range of life, will set us free? So perfection is an ego fixation of the spiritual personality type that is far from enlightened. And it really causes us a lot more turmoil than it's really necessary. So what helps? Well, in this practice, we're going to investigate truth. Truth. And at times, we've discussed truth in terms of the truth of our being. And seeing that, well, we're not our minds. We're not our feelings. And we remember that one because we can get hypersensitive around a group of people. We are not our feelings, and we aren't our bodies. But the awareness of these thoughts and ideas. Okay, so let's use truth in the human way. Not in an absolute spiritual, aggrandized spiritual sense, but let's bring it down to everyday life as honesty and authenticity, as telling the truth. We want to embody these truths, whatever they are. We want to embody what we value most deeply. And our practice points us in that direction. And this is a humanized sense of truth. So I don't want to be confusing. I'm not saying that we should insist upon our individual truths or think that whatever seems true and honest and authentic for me has an absolute value that everybody else should have. These are what are called opinions. And the Buddha says, you just go around irritating the rest of the world with your opinions. So, truth, that's not truth. It's an illusion to think that our truth is absolute. And as we know, it varies from person to person. And how does that happen? Well, it happens without our consent through the conditioning process as we grow. But nonetheless, being honest, authentic truth tellers is an important part of what it is to live an awakened life. And so we all have this conditioning that says it's not okay to be honest. We're conditioned not to be honest. It's not okay to be authentic. It's not okay to be who we are. So how can we live an awakened life if we're not being truthful? And this is on all levels. If we're not being honest, we're not being authentic. So honesty to begin with who we think we are. And I'll tell you up front, this is one of the most tricky little practices that I've done because it doesn't seem like much. But when I try to do it, and I've practiced it for a while now, I realize it can be more difficult than I imagined. Why? Well, because it's the truth of my mind and body. It's on the level of being a human being. You say, well, that doesn't matter. Yes, it matters. How truthful we are to ourselves matters. But it shows us a lot about ourselves. And we're not trying to find out these things about ourselves so we can, you know, punish ourselves. Because remember, the truth on any level frees us. So how do we practice this? Well, first of all, it's like set an intention to tell the truth. Tell the truth today. Be honest. Be authentic. Be truthful as much as we can be truthful. And so when we intend, or we direct our attention to this and make it a practice, we find out there are instances when we think we're being truthful and honest, but we discover little ways we kind of shade the truth, coloring the truth, certainly unconsciously manipulating the truth. Why? Well, for strategic advantage, to get what we want, to try to avoid criticism or disagreements or whatever it may be. So the truth on any level existence will set us free. That's why the first pop focus is on the mind and the body. That has to come through the truth of the mind and body. And so this practice of truth is not saying to forget about the teaching of intention or disregard that we don't have discriminating wisdom. If I don't like your hair or other things about you, my conditioning truth comes up within me, with this mind and body. So what is my intention? And you remember, that's quite natural, that this is happening all the time throughout the day. We automatically, naturally like, dislike, or disregard everything that we perceive through our senses. So what is my intention, or where is the discriminating wisdom? Well, of these conditioned reactions in the truths of everyday existence, if I choose to tell you I don't like something about you, does it connect us? Or does it disconnect us? So it can be unskillful. So I'm not talking about that types of truth at all. I'm talking about truth where we hide from ourselves. Does it connect us to life, or does it disconnect? And we know it can be unskillful, but what if we were an educator? Here's another example that could help your child in lots of ways. I've gone through this a lot. Some parents really did not want to hear the relative truth that could help or support their child from people who had the unconditional love and the expertise. We have this selective hearing that we want to get to know and to see where the places we really don't want to know truth. And this could have tremendous impact on the child's happiness. So we fear truths. And so who suffers? Well, the child suffered, but that isn't the parent's intention. It's their own issues of people of hearing things you don't want to hear and not making a conscious decision that's in the best interest of the child or all the things we do that's not in the best interest of us. So looking for the truth of truths. Now we're going to lean into the fear of truth. That fear of being truthful, of being honest, of being authentic. I always had a monkey. I still have it. The monkey's where you hear no evil, speak no evil, see no evil. Well, I'd use it with the staff because they were in a very, very important position where parents needed to hear in a compassionate way truths that they had seen and that could actually impact the child as he or she grows. And this is the part I would say, even if you take the personal hit, and that's what happened many, many times.
When you were principal?
When I was principal and working with other educators. So, what does the Buddha say about the truth? Well, the Four Noble Truths comprise the essence of Buddha's teachings. They are truth of suffering, the truth of the cause of suffering, the truth of the end of suffering, and the truth of the path that leads to the end of suffering. More simply put, suffering exists. It has a cause. It has an end. And it has a cause to bring about its end. And that's what we're all about. We start small by looking within. For the truth, even on a mundane level. Isn't that interesting? Why? Well, because this is the vehicle, the path, that leads us to what the Buddha was talking about. If we fool ourselves on any level, then that has an impact. So, this is all optional suffering. So the notion of suffering is not intended to convey a negative worldview, but rather a pragmatic perspective that deals with the world as it is, dealing with ourselves as we are. And that honesty frees us. And especially with the teachings, because we no longer feel the pain of the identification with what we think and again what we feel. And we're not these bodies. So the concept of pleasure is not denied but acknowledged as fleeting. Pursuit of pleasure can only continue what is ultimately an unquenchable, you know what I mean, thirst. So the same logic belies an understanding of happiness. In the end, only aging, sickness, and death are certain, unavoidable. We know that. Now, how does this relative truth fit into this practice? Well, I can't tell you tonight because we don't have time, but that is coming next week. And so I will stop there, and if I presented any confusion, ask for clarification, and thank you for being good listeners.